It is good to be with you this morning. I too have been looking forward to this week. It's a privilege to have the opportunity to share with you some things that I've learned over the past two or three years. Some things that's really become real to me in my life as a Christian and my growth as a Christian. Things that's changed my life, and I know that because it's in the Word of God, that if you need change in your life, that it can change you too. Not because I'm the one saying it, but because God's the one that said it. And I believe everything He says, and I believe if He says He can change our lives, that He can. And I believe if we'll open our hearts and allow Him, that He will. And this morning I want to talk with you, kind of setting the stage for the entire week, about the decision to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're going to talk about some different types of decisions for just a moment. There's three different types of decisions, at least when we teach students in business about decisions. There's three different types. There's one type that's a strategic type of decision, a very long-term decision, a long-term plan. In business, we talk about what products we want to release in the next 5 to 10 years, how we want to position ourselves against our competitors. There's a lot of unknowns there. So we don't know what they're going to do. We don't know what the economy's going to do. But so it's a long-term plan. It's at least an idea, something to shoot for. Well, in our lives, some of these decisions are, what will I do for a career? That's a big, long-term decision. And a lot of you young folks here this morning are playing around with that all the time in your head. What am I going to do for a living? What kind of job am I going to get? Well, that decision is going to filter down into other decisions that you make in life. Another strategic decision, a more personal, is what kind of person do I want to be? You know, you really think about that. What do I want to be like when I'm 30 years old? When I'm 40 years old? When I'm 50 years old? What kind of person do I want to become? I think a lot of people never think about it, and they never grow up. They never think about who they want to be, and so they end up 40 years old acting like a teenager. I don't mean going out and partying. I mean acting like a teenager in that think they ought to get their way all the time, and if they don't get it, they're going to pout with everybody and run around with their lips poked out. They never think about growing up. They never think about who they need to become. So what type of person do I want to be? Some tactical decisions. There's strategic, tactical, and operational. Your tactical decisions, once you determine, say, the products that you want to offer within the next 5 years, then you've got to determine, okay, on a yearly basis, on a quarterly basis, what do I need to do so that at the end of 5 years, I've accomplished this goal? These are still not down to the day-to-day activities. This is still somewhat long-term. So with the idea of our career, my career is long-term, but what education do I need so that I can have this career? What kind of training? What kind of certificates? What type of degrees do I need? Whatever it is, what do I have to accomplish educationally so that I can go work in this career? So the education is a short-term decision to achieve the long-term plan. As far as the type of person we want to be, we might consider other people around us. If we wanted to, say, be a nice person or a helpful person, then what we need to do is to look at the people around us and consider what's going on in their life right now. How might I be of service to them over the next 3, 4, 5 months? Got some people that are going to be moving to college. Moving on, that's a big change in life. That's a big change. What can I do to assist them through that change? What can I do to help them over the next year while they adjust? Those are some short-term decisions. But what you do over that next year is going to help shape who you are so that hopefully in 10 years you become that person you want to be. And we get down to the operational decisions. If we're going to achieve a new product every year, then it's got to make it through a certain process in R&D at a certain amount of time. Then it's got to go through quality assurance in a certain amount of time. Then it's got to go to market testing. And so we've got a plan. Well, according to that plan, there's something I've got to be doing today. There's something that has to happen today so that that product can come out on target within the next year. So that within the next 5 years, we've got ourselves positioned where we want to be. So you see these decisions filter down. What do I need to learn today from my classes? To pass the class, but not just to pass the class. But what do I need to learn from this class that's going to help me in my career? So that's a very day-to-day activity. What am I going to learn? What can I do today to help somebody else? That person that's maybe moving to college or going through a difficult time in life, say, I want to make it a goal that I want to help them over the next 3 months. What does that mean for today? What am I going to do today to help this person out? What can I do? I believe that the Scripture tells us what to do in Colossians 3rd chapter verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So with this understanding of these decisions that we've got to make, Jesus Christ has to be the central part of our decision at every level. At every level of our decisions, He's got to be there. In fact, He is the number one decision. We'll go back to this slide. Our strategic decision, long term, the number one decision is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And there's a difference in believing it and knowing it. We'll talk more about that tonight. There's a lot of people that know it. In fact, every one of us in here this morning knows that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's not a one of us that's going to question that. But do you believe it? If I told you there was a man outside that had a gun, and he was going to shoot the first 5 people that walked out, and you really, really believed me, would that make a difference in your life? Would that make a difference in which door you walked out of this morning? If you really believed it, see, you might know it and say, oh, well, I don't really believe they're going to shoot 5 people, and you might walk right on out. Boom. See, knowing something is different than believing it. If we believe it, it'll make an impact on our life. We truly, truly believe it. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Some tactical decisions. Because I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I want to improve my relationship with, fill in the blank. Maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your cousins, whoever it is. I want to improve my relationship with my coworker. Why? Why do I want to improve my relationship? Because I want to reach that person, because I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if I can reach them, if I can have a relationship with them, maybe I can reach them and teach Jesus to them. Maybe I can bring them closer to God. And so this decision to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God will shape our relationships, how we deal with one another, how we respond to one another, because we believe Jesus is the Son of God. And then, of course, operationally, what am I going to do today? What does that mean for today that I believe He's the Son of God? I want to help people. I want to improve my relationship with other people. So what can I do today to make some progress in that relationship? To make some progress in teaching Jesus Christ to another person? Maybe I'll call them, speak to somebody that I'm at odds with. Somebody's got to make the first move. Maybe I'll make a phone call and just say, you know, let's start putting this beside us. Let's put it behind us and let's move forward. Maybe they don't receive you the first phone call. It's okay. You can try again. Jesus Christ didn't get received here either, did He? He killed him. They killed Him. But He still loves us and He still died for us. And it's to our advantage that they did that. But He's still trying through you and through me. So we keep trying. We sacrifice our personal time for someone else. Let's say you wake up on a Saturday morning and you've got a long day plan of stuff that you need to get done. Grass has got to be cut. Oil's got to be changed. Tires got to be rotated. House needs to be cleaned. A long list of things that's got to be done. Somebody calls you that morning and says, hey, I really need some help today. Can you come help me out this morning? It'll only take us 3 or 4 hours and we can be done. And you're thinking to yourself, 3 to 4 hours, man, I don't have time to get everything done today that I need to do to start with. What are you going to do? You're going to tell them, no, I can't do it, I'm too busy? Or are you going to sacrifice some time so that you can spend time with this person and build a relationship with them and help lead them to Christ or help strengthen them in their walk with Christ? See, depending on what that decision is, the decision to believe, it will impact your every move. Every step you take. The overall decision is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said to Thomas, most of us probably heard the story of doubting Thomas. This is after Jesus had risen from the grave. And Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I put my hand in his side and I put my finger in his hands where the nails went through. And Jesus says, Thomas, you have seen me and you believe, but blessed are they who have not seen and yet believed. And that's us. That's me and you. We haven't seen Jesus Christ walking on this earth, but we believe that he came. We all believe it so much that at least we came here this morning. And I hope we all believe it so much that it makes us make right decisions in our lives. It's got to be more than a story, though. You know, we all know stories, don't we? Aesop's fables. Those are good stories. The story of the tortoise and the hare. That's a good story. It's got a good moral to it. But do we always live by those morals? Remember the story of the farmer that had the hen to lay the golden eggs? You heard that one before. He got greedy, cut the hen's head off, reached in, tried to find all the eggs, and there wasn't any. He got greedy. We know that story. But are you greedy? We know the story of the tortoise and the hare. But are you slow and steady? Do you keep at it? Or is it just a story? You know the story of Jesus Christ. But do you believe it? Do you really believe that a 33-year-old man sacrificed his life for you? And if he hadn't, you would have no hope but to go to hell. Do you believe it? Or is it just a story? Oh, it's a good story. It doesn't make a difference. Because we believe the story, we believe that there's more to it than just that he died. We believe he's coming back. John the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 4, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. So we believe Jesus is the Son of God. We believe he died. We believe he rose. We believe that he's up there in heaven right now, getting a place ready for all of us and for all the others who are Christians trying to follow him and trying to serve him. And we believe that he's going to come back. And he tells us that you know where I'm going and you know the way to come where I am going. Do we? What is the way? What is the way to Jesus Christ? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the way. The Bible is the way. That is what shows us the path. That's what lights the path for our feet. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. We know that. We know the Bible is the path. We know the Bible shows us the way to God. We also know that the health magazine shows us how to be healthy. But how many of us actually read it and eat healthy and exercise like we should? I don't. See, there's a difference in knowing something and believing it. There's a difference in knowing something and let it make an impact on you that changes your life. And that's what we're seeking this week, is believing it so strongly that it changes our lives. See, we know a lot of good things. We know we get good gas mileage if we don't drive real fast. And it saves money. But do we all drive slow and take our time and get good gas mileage? We know that credit cards are dangerous. But do we use credit cards? See, we know a lot of stuff that would help us. It's not knowing it. What was it the G.I. Joe would say? Knowing is half the battle. Some of y'all don't even know G.I. Joe. Knowing is half the battle. That's just part of it. You've got to believe it enough to let it make a difference. Do we believe it? Do we study it? We should. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you. That means you. You sitting right there this morning, as Brother Ricky prayed in his prayer, you have done things outside of God's will, and you have left things undone that were in God's will. So have I. Every single one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that we only have one way out. Only one way out. Through Jesus Christ. But you've got to believe it enough for it to change your life. There's some in the world that would tell you that you have to believe only. Just believe on Him. Depending on your definition of believe, that's not too far from incorrect. If your definition of believe is to say, I believe He's the Son of God, that's not all there is to it. But if you believe it enough that it changes your life and you submit yourself to God's will, then that's a good start. So let's look at some things this morning at the way that this strategic decision to believe can impact our lives. Let's look at some things, the difference that it can make on a day-to-day basis if we choose to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on that cross, that He rose from the grave, that He's in heaven preparing a place, and that one day He's coming back. One day He's coming back. See, if I change the story from earlier and I said to you, sometime there will be a man outside the door with a gun going to shoot the first five people that walked out. I didn't say when. I just said sometime. And for the past 15 years, it never happened. Would you hesitate to walk out the back door? It hadn't happened yet. Then it becomes less and less real to us the farther we get away from it. And so we just keep walking out. Well, what if one day that man was out there? And we had just become complacent. You see, for 2,000 years, Christ has been ready to come back. Well, about 1970. One day He's going to. Do you believe that? Do you believe that enough for it to make a difference? Friends, I see all around us. I see people who call themselves Christians living like they've got the next 100 years to straighten themselves up. I've done it. I see mistakes in my life right now that I'm working on, attitudes, ways that I think about things that I'm trying to straighten out. We don't know how much time we've got, and we take that. We just take it for granted that we're going to have time. So what can we do if we truly believe it's going to make a difference in our life? Number one, we want to be forgiven, right? Because I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. I need to be in a good standing with God. There's only one way to get that. And I don't believe anybody today should give an answer when someone says, what should I do to be saved? I don't think anybody should give an answer that's different than what they gave in the Bible. And what Peter said, the very first time when somebody asked that question after Christ had gone back into heaven, the very first answer, why would it be different today than it was then? It's not. It's not different. Nowhere, no time did God come back and say, well, let me rewrite a little bit of this for you. It's the same answer. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. That's that song that we sing so many times, do all in the name of the Lord. The very first thing you need to do in the name of the Lord is be baptized in His name. That you were baptized into Jesus Christ. Otherwise, there's no forgiveness of sins. And there are lots of people who are baptized, but they're not baptized for the remission of their sins. They're not baptized in His name. So does it count? Oh, we all get wet all the time, don't we? Take a bath. We go swimming. We go out skiing on the lake. We get wet. We go to the ocean. We get wet. Is it all the same just to get wet? Or has it got to be being baptized for the right reason? We need forgiveness. See, there's a trick to forgiveness. There's more to it than just being baptized. See, once we receive forgiveness, and we've got a job to do. that job is to turn around and forgive others. And I promise you, that's harder than receiving it. I guarantee you, it is harder to turn around and give forgiveness than it is to receive it from God. But the thing is, friends, if we don't go and give forgiveness, then God's not going to forgive us either. So, and I've said this here before, and it's a hard thing to say, but it's true, that if you hold a grudge and you choose not to forgive, knowing that if we don't forgive others, that God will not forgive us, then you are saying, in effect, that I would rather go to hell than give forgiveness. The forgiveness that's been freely given to me, I'd rather go to hell than share that with someone else, because I'm going to take my grudge with me. Is that what we want to do? Is that really a decision based on the fact that we believed, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but I'm going to never forgive this sucker over here for what he did to me? Is that anywhere close to the right attitude? No, friends. If we are believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we've got to be a forgiving people to receive forgiveness. Does it impact our lives on a day-to-day basis? Oh, we all know that. How many times have we seen that verse? We all know it. We've seen it. That's nothing new. Just like the all the health stuff that we know and we see, it's nothing new. But do we really believe it? What else is there? Well, I want to please God. I need forgiveness, and I want to please God today. Well, part of pleasing God is to have faith in Him. It is without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So there's a lot to do here with faith. This basically gives us a definition of faith. Faith is believing it, but believing it so much that we live it. So if you want to call it faith only, okay, as you just make sure you got the right definition of faith. That faith is more than just saying, I believe He's the Son of God. Faith is, today, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. What can I do today to help somebody else? Who do I need to forgive? What do I need to learn? What can I meditate on? Who can I pray for? That's faith. Faith is not just coming to church on Sunday morning or even Sunday night. Faith is Monday morning when you wake up and you don't feel good and you got to go to work, and the first thing that happens is somebody says something and rubs you the wrong way and you don't snap back. You show patience because you believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's faith. Faith is in the trenches where you live, where your problems are, where your struggles are. That's faith. Do we believe? Does it make a difference? Or is it just something that we know? Is it just something that we know? Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That thing that we hope for, that Jesus is in heaven right now making a place for you and for me, and we're hoping for His return, we're looking forward to it. As much as I want to watch my kids grow up, I'd love for Jesus Christ to come back before they became teenagers. Before they had to face the world that's out there. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which do appear. That means that by faith, we don't believe in evolution. By faith, we believe in the creation. By faith, when we see these biologists and scientists that say that they've recovered dinosaur bones from 20, 50 million years ago, we just shake our head. And we think it's a shame that they don't understand that this old world's only 6,000 years old. Because our Bible shows us that God made everything in 7 days, 6 days, and rested on the seventh day. Our Bible tells us about that there was people on the earth during the time of dinosaurs. It wasn't 20 million years ago. Dinosaurs died off as a result of the ice age, which was a result of the flood. Not because some meteor hit the earth 250 million years ago. Because we believe that what's here is made by God. That's it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I love this. If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's faith. Faith is the evidence that would convict you of being a Christian. James tells us more about faith. Faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. You say you have faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. Did you get that? Satan also believes. The devils believe. Satan and his angels believe that there is a God. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and it scares them to death. It scares them to death. You remember the story of the man who was possessed, and the demon's name was Legion, because it said, "We are many." And they had possessed this one man, and they saw Jesus Christ from afar off. And he cried out and said, "Have you come to punish me before the time?" He was scared to death of seeing Jesus in the flesh. They believe and they tremble. Do you tremble? Do you believe it enough that it actually makes a difference in your life? That you think, you know what? I don't need to watch this. Because there's some things that's in here that's not appropriate, and I'm scared of dying while I'm watching this movie. Or I'm scared of dying while I'm doing this, or saying this, or whatever it might be. Are you scared to sin? Or are we just, "I know I shouldn't do that, but I'm going to do it anyway." Oh, vain man, don't you know that faith without works is dead? See, knowing it and believing it's different things. Believing it will make a difference in your life. Truly, truly believing that Jesus Christ is coming back, and one day you're going to stand before God, before Almighty God, and it's going to be worse than going to the principal's office. It's going to be worse than getting caught by mom and daddy. It's going to be worse than getting pulled over, getting a speeding ticket. It's going to be worse than anything you've had to face where you had to fess up to something you did wrong. You're going to stand before God, and you're going to stand before Jesus Christ knowing that He gave up His life for you. And you lived your life for yourself anyway. Is that what you want? Do you believe it? Say, "I want to work for God. I want to be forgiven. I want to please God with my faith, and I want to work for God. What can I do to work?" Hebrews 10:23-25. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Hang on to it for dear life, like you're at the end of your rope and you tied a knot, buddy, and you're holding on and not letting go. You hold fast to your faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised." And what's that promise? That Jesus is up there right now making a place for you. And if He went to make a place, He's going to come back to get you. That's the promise. He is faithful that promised. And let us, here's what we can do. You want to do good for God? Here's what we can do. "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." We encourage one another. We help each other. You say, "Brother, I'm holding on for dear life. I'm not letting go. I'm standing firm on the promises. Standing on the promises of God," as we sang this morning. "I'm standing on those promises. I'm hanging on to those promises." And let me encourage you to do the same. Let me pray for you. Let me help you. Let's study the Bible together. What better thing can we do? "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." And we use this verse all the time to say, you're supposed to be at church. Because it says you're not supposed to forsake the assembly, so you're supposed to be here. So what we get is we get a bunch of people to show up. There's no exhorting. There's no provoking. There's no encouraging. We talk about the weather before church. We talk about the garden before church. As soon as amen said, we go back to talking about the afternoon, the weather, the garden, your job, your work, everything else except exhortation. When was the last time that after everything was over and you're walking out that you felt encouraged by somebody after the service was over? See, there's more to it than just showing up and sitting here and walking out the door. We've got to be ready to give and receive encouragement. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's arguments over what that day is. Some people say that it's Sunday. Some people say it's the day. The big day. The last day. I don't know which one it is. I'm not going to make a point about that or an argument over it. I don't really care which one it is, because I think we need to encourage each other during the week. We need to encourage each other about coming to the services to worship and remember our Lord's death. And we also need to for sure encourage one another about the day. So whichever way you want to look at it, it's fine with me. We better get to encouraging instead of arguing over which day it is. What's the point of it? Do you believe it? Do you encourage? Do you exhort? Or do we show up and forsake? You can be here and forsake. What are we doing? Do we believe it? Does it really mean something to us? What about doing good to others? Doing good for other people. When you do your alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And I've put a lot of thought into this. How in the world are you supposed to do something where your left hand doesn't know what your right hand's doing? I don't think that's possible. But I think the point is that you don't dwell on it. You see something you can do good for somebody, just do it and then move on. Don't think about it. Don't dwell on it and think, buddy, I did a good thing today. Let me tell you what I did today. I saw so-and-so on the side of the road, and I stopped and helped change their tire. That is a good thing. You ain't got to tell the next five people you see that you helped somebody out. But sometimes we so rarely step out of our lives to help someone else that when we do, we want everybody to know about it. I think the point is just be that humble servant that may show up and help somebody, even if they don't even realize it. That you'll do something good for another person and they don't even know you did it. Somebody's going on a trip, you know they're going to be gone for a while. Go wash their car while it's sitting in the driveway. Go cut their grass so their yard's cut. I mean, something small. They don't never have to know who came and cut their grass. You can go cut it just before dark so nobody in the neighborhood even sees you out there cutting the grass. Do things for other people. Just something small to help out. You know somebody's maybe running low on their money? Go buy them a gift certificate for a restaurant. Stick it under their windshield in a blank envelope with no name on it. They'll never know who gave that to them, but I guarantee you they'll appreciate it. Get them a gift certificate for $100 to Walmart for groceries and give it to them anonymously. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Just do it. Just help other people. So who do we help? Anybody that we can possibly get to. Then the righteous answered Jesus, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when were you sick or in prison and we came unto you? This is talking about the judgment. And Jesus Christ shall answer and say to you, verily I say, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So when we stand before Jesus Christ, we might say to him, he might say, depart from me. And we're going to say, wait a second now. I never saw you sick. If you had been sick, I would have come to see you. If I had seen you and helped Jesus, I would have helped you out. And what Jesus is saying, if you want to help me, you need to help the family of God. You need to be helping your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to be helping your community. You need to be helping your neighbors. Do good things in the name of Jesus Christ. And you're doing it to Him. We know that. When was the last time that we gave up part of our busy schedule to actually help someone else? We know it. Do we believe it? What about in prayer? Jesus says, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and your Father which is in secret shall reward you openly. Psalms 34 and 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Do we pray? What's your prayer life like? You know, we're pretty good about making sure that when we're eating with our family, that somebody's going to offer a prayer of thanks before the meal. But do you always do it by yourself if you've gone through the drive-thru? Or by yourself when you're at home over a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Something simple. Or is that just a ritual that we do before a big feast with the family? What's your prayer life like? What about teaching other people? For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God or the instruction of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So this paints a sad picture of the Christians, of the Hebrews. And the writer here is saying, you're at a point where you ought to be able to teach other people. And you've done such little studying yourself that you need somebody to come and reteach you the whole way that you even got salvation to start with. And how true is that of many in the church today who may have obeyed the gospel 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, and today would have a hard time explaining what they did and why they did it. And I'm not meaning to put anybody down at all. What I'm trying to do is get us to see that we need to be studying and learning. I'm trying to encourage us to be the people that God wants us to be. I'm trying to encourage us to act on what we know. I'm trying to encourage us to believe it so much that it makes a difference in our lives. Ultimately, friends, what we want is we want to be saved. Saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, you're saved by grace, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, I can't go buy enough gift certificates to Walmart to get my ticket through the pearly gates. I can't go cut somebody else's grass enough. I can't wash somebody else's car enough. I can't do enough good deeds here to get a free ride into heaven. It's not of my works. It's by my faith in Jesus Christ and the resulting life that I lead because of that faith. And a lot of people say here, well, see, you can't work. You're not supposed to work. And I agree if you're talking about doing the deeds to get a free ride. But look at the very next sentence. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, God's got a plan for what He wants the Christian to look like. He's got a plan for what He wants you to do in your Christian life, because you know people that I don't know. You can have a difference in a way that I can't have a difference, make a difference. And vice versa. And He's got a plan for the person that He wants you to be. It's His work. It's His workmanship. It's not mine. And by faith, I will put myself in that work. His work, not my work. John 3, 14 to 16. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, there's a lot of people that like to quote this, and they'll say, see, it says that if you believe, you shouldn't perish. You're right. You're right. And if I exercise, I shouldn't have a heart attack either. but I might. There's a difference in should not and shall not. See, if we put this in a little more personal terms, for God so loved me that He gave Jesus that if I believe, I should not perish, but I should have eternal life. I shouldn't perish. You shouldn't perish. None of us here should perish because we've heard it. We know it. The question is whether we're going to believe it and let it change our lives to be the people that God wants us to be. What we don't want to have happen is for that day to come when we walk out and that man's out there with a gun and we become lackadaisical. We've drifted. We've sat back. We've assumed that today is not going to be the day either. And one day He's there. See, one day Jesus is coming back. He told us He was, and I believe. I don't want Him to say that to me. I never knew you. And I don't think you want to hear that either. So this week, I hope that we can all be encouraged to walk closer to God. And the foundation is the decision to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Maybe you've made that decision. Maybe you've decided this morning that you really believe and you want it to make a difference in your life. Well, there's something that you can do. You can be baptized. Just like Peter said, repent of your past life and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life to guide you and to lead you. Perhaps you've done that and you haven't lived faithfully. You've lived unbelieving. You've lived knowing but not believing. And you want us to pray for you. We can do that this morning also. Anytime this week, today, tonight, anytime, if you want to call me, look me up. Don't call my house. I have to give you my cell phone. My house phone's not working. Call me. Get in touch with me. Get in touch with some of us. Somebody can pray with you. They can pray for you. But as always, we offer the invitation now while we're standing through.
I bring my sin to Thee.